So our Bible reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. And you can find it on page 724 of the Church Bible, which is in the shelf in the chair just in front of you. So Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says our God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Elaine. I'll begin with that reading from Isaiah. Not because actually we're going to spend much time in Isaiah 40 this morning, but because I think it gives us a helpful context to what we're thinking about today. I heard Isaiah 40 spoken on this week. I was listening to a sermon, and I think God really spoke to me through verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. In Isaiah 40, God is speaking words of comfort to a people who are in exile, who think they're beyond God's grace. And he speaks comfort to them. And he says that even in exile, even when they think they're beyond his grace, he, God, tends his flock, his people, like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And it's a picture of God shepherding and caring for his people that we see ultimately fulfilled in Jesus, the one who ultimately cares and shepherds us here today, the one who gathers in his lambs by opening up his arms upon the cross, who leads his people through all the joys and sorrows of life, who carries his people close to his heart and gently leads his young. He has us this morning close to his heart. Jesus cares deeply about us this morning as his people. Just as we're thinking about a Vision Sunday and all that we might want to do and do, it's good to remember who the shepherd of the sheep is. It is Jesus. St. Simon's this morning, you want, this is not my church. This is not your church. We are Jesus' sheep. We belong to him, and he cares deeply about us, and he is the one who ultimately shepherds us. That gives us great assurance as God's people, that ultimately we want to make plans, but our plans might fail, and yet Jesus is the one who continues to take care of his sheep. It means that we make plans and we hold them lightly, because ultimately it is Jesus who cares for us. It is Jesus who leads us. It is Jesus who gathers us and gathers more people. We are weak lambs and silly sheep, but he is the good shepherd. Now, let me pray for us in light of that. Heavenly Father, do pray for us this morning as we're beginning to think about what it is that you call us to as your people here at St. Simon's. We thank you for that truth that we are your people, that Jesus is our shepherd, our good shepherd, who laid down his life for his sheep, who gathered us in, who tends and cares for us, who keeps us close to his heart. Please, would that give us a sense of assurance and humility this morning? And please, would that give us great joy? In Jesus' name, amen. Well, why a Vision Sunday? Why a Vision Sunday? It's a recognition that we're at a point in our church family life together where it is good to refresh our vision of what we're here for as God's people. To clarify together why God has placed us here. So over the last year, the PCC and a small group, so Kewan Arch, Mo Burnley, Rob Johnson, Elaine Killick and myself, have been meeting to pray and to knock ideas around and to think about what it is that God calls us to as his people. What are we here for? What are we about? And I think that's really helpful for us. Some of us have been part of the church family pretty much all our lives. Some of us have been part of the church family pretty much all our lives. Some of us are pretty new to St. Simon's. It's good to just take stock, to step back and go, actually, okay, what am I here for? What are we here for? What are we about? What is God calling us to? And so today's a chance to update the whole church family of how I and the PCC think God answers that question. What are we, the church family of St. Simon and St. Jude's, with all souls, here for? For this time this morning, we're going to think about the big picture. And this afternoon, we're going to think about some of the practicalities of what that might begin to look like. And it's a chance for people to ask questions this afternoon and over lunch, to receive feedback, to do that as a joint thing together. I want us to think about two things this morning. A gospel principle and a gospel vision. If you could flick in your Bibles to Luke 6, where we've been spending most of our time over the last couple of weeks. Luke 6, page 1034. A gospel principle. Let's have that up on the screen. Yeah, and next one. Great. Really, just going to speak on one sentence this morning. It's in Luke chapter 6, verse 45. It's on page 1034. And Jesus, where he says, "For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Let me just read it in context for you. From verse 43, Jesus is beginning to end his sermon at this point, and Keith's going to help us think about this a bit more in a couple of weeks. But Jesus is ending the sermon of what true discipleship looks like, and he says, "No good tree bears good fruit," verse 43. "No, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People don't pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Now, Jesus' big point, as we've seen over the last couple of weeks, you can tell a follower of Jesus by how they live, by what comes out of their hearts. Just as a fig tree produces figs, just as an apple tree produces apples, a follower of Jesus overflows with Jesus' fruit. The principle there is that the heart shaped by Jesus will result in lives lived for Jesus. A heart shaped by Jesus will result in a life lived for Jesus. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. We know that, don't we? I speak and I live to show what I'm most excited by, what I'm most captured by, what I'm most enthralled by. Just as before I go on, could we switch the heating off as well? It's really warm in here this morning. I think I need my shorts on. Thanks, Mike. We speak and we live to show what we're most excited by, captured by, enthralled by. What my heart is set upon is shown by how I live and how I speak. So, if your heart is full of looking forward to going on a holiday, okay, you share that news, right? I'm going on a holiday in a couple of weeks. Have I told you where I'm going? You live preparing to go on holiday. So you're kind of making sure you've got everything ready. You've gone and got your passport updated, or you daydream, and you count down the days. How many sleeps is it until I actually go on holiday? And my heart is set on holiday, so I live and I speak about. You know, if your heart is full of excitement because your team is top of the league, you can't stop speaking about your team. You keep checking the latest news. You daydream about them lifting the trophy. I find it slightly painful this morning. One of my children said they want a Liverpool kit. Yeah. Can see what their heart is set on, unfortunately. You see, what our hearts love and value most, what we're captured by, it drives how I live and how I speak. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Therefore, when we're thinking about something like a church vision, the danger is that we focus all on what we are going to do for God, that we jump straight to what our plans are. We're going to do this ministry. We're going to reach these people. We're going to support this project. And we must do that. We must think and plan for God's glory and the sake of his kingdom. But we mustn't do it just because we think we should. Because if we do, then we just go through the motions of church life and ministry and the motions of our own lives. And we'll end up being whitewashed tombs, as Jesus calls the Pharisees. Doing lots, looking vaguely impressive, but actually, on the inside, pretty dead and lifeless. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Our first call as God's people is not to serve. Our first calling as God's people is not to share the gospel. Our first calling is to believe the gospel and to really believe it and to go on believing it day by day, to believe the wonderful, life-giving, heart-transforming good news of Jesus. That in Jesus, God is for us. That in Jesus, our hope is sure and our future is solid. So that we begin to allow to let that good news of Jesus sink into even the darkest crevices of our hearts. And even the deepest hidden pits of unbelief. So that as the good news of Jesus, of the good news that God is for us and with us, so that then drives us out to live. We are to have hearts so full of Christ, so full of the knowledge of God and love for God, that we cannot help but speak for him and live for him. Our first calling is not to serve, but to have hearts transformed by Jesus. Luke will go on to record the instance in his gospel account of Jesus going to Mary and Martha's home. Mary goes to Mary and Martha, and they have Jesus over dinner. And Mary, she sits listening at Jesus' feet, right? Martha, she's busy serving. She's bustling in and out. I mean, after all, she's got the Son of God in her home, right? So she's going to serve a good meal. She's going to tidy the house. Jesus, the Son of God, has come to stay. She's doing all this. Mary, she's just sitting there. She's doing nothing to serve Jesus. And Martha eventually says to Jesus, "Look, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen what is better." Why? Because she first needs to have her heart shaped by the wonder of Jesus' words and the person of Jesus. Because the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, this isn't to say that all we're to do is to sit and listen. No. Our hearts are transformed so that we go and live for Jesus. So that we go and speak for Jesus. But that needs to flow out of our hearts as God's grace sinks deeper and deeper in. Do you notice that that is always the way that God works in his word? He gives us commands, but he always roots them in the gospel. I think about the most famous commands, the Ten Commandments in Exodus 20 or Deuteronomy 5. Commands about how to live as his people. What's the first thing he says? The first thing he says to his people is, "I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery, who rescued you from the land of Egypt." He roots the commands that he gives in what God has done. Think about Jesus that we've looked at in the Sermon on the Mount. How he gives us lots of commands about how we're to live. He roots them all the time in gospel truth. Verse 23, "Rejoice," says Jesus. He commands us to rejoice in the day and leap for joy when we're persecuted. Why? Because of the gospel. Because we're going to be welcomed in by the Father into a wonderful eternal inheritance, which means we can give our lives away now. Command in light of the gospel. Last week, love your enemies, rooted in the fact that we were once God's enemies and God the Father has shown us mercy. And so just as we've received mercy, we're to show mercy. Command, rooted in the gospel. Be merciful just as the Father in heaven is merciful. That's what Jesus said last week. When I sin, when I serve unwillingly, when I fail to pray, or like I did this morning with our kids, when I lose my temper, the solution is not simply for me to try harder in that moment or to be told that I need to do better. The solution is that I need to know more of God's presence, more of his love, more of his patience with me, so that I begin to overflow in patience and love and compassion for others. The solution is to drink in more of the goodness of the gospel so that my desires are changed and that I might want to serve and that I might want to speak of Jesus and that I might want to live for him rather than just being told that I should and feeling guilty about it. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. I love how Luke shows us this in action in his gospel. Do you remember the shepherds? Do you remember the shepherds in Luke chapter 2? Of course you remember the shepherds because you know the Christmas story. The shepherds who, they're sitting there, the night sky is lit up. They've got an announcement from the angels that a Savior has been born for them. The promised King, their Lord. And so they dash off to see if it's true into Bethlehem, and they find Jesus just as they've been told, their Savior, their Lord, their promised King. And what do they do in response? Amazed, shouting, praising God, they go, we're told, and spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. They've gone, it's true! There is a Savior born! There is the promised King! There is the Lord! This is wonderful news! You know, they're not told to go and spread the news. They just have a heart that goes, yes, it's true. And so they just go and they tell and they speak and they spread the word. That is how it is with speaking about Jesus. We tie ourselves up in knots and we feel so guilty a lot of the time, thinking, oh, I should be doing better. The solution is to go, Jesus is wonderful. Out of the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. When I go, Jesus is wonderful, I go, you know, the best thing is to invite somebody along to hear about Jesus. I go, yes. Or think about the sinful woman in Luke 7. She risks it all by going into Simon the Pharisee's house when Jesus is eating there. And she gives this extravagant, over-the-top display of affection, weeping and kissing Jesus' feet and pouring perfume. And you think, what on earth is she doing? Making this huge scene. And Jesus says it's because she knows the depth of forgiveness that she's received from Jesus. Jesus says it in Luke 7, her many sins have been forgiven as her great love has shown. She knows the depth of her sin. She knows the greatness of her forgiveness. And so it flows out in extravagant love for Jesus. She loves and serves Jesus like this because her heart has been transformed by grace. Her heart has been transformed by the forgiveness and love of a Savior. I want to be a shepherd. Dare I say, I want to be a sinful woman. You've got to be very careful how you say that. I want to be in a church full of shepherds and sinful women. People that where we go, Jesus is great, I want to share him. Jesus is wonderful, look at how, I'm an idiot, look at the depth of my sin, but look at the wonder of forgiveness. Therefore, I want to serve my Savior. A heart shaped by Jesus will result in lives lived for Jesus. Isn't that your heart's longing? Isn't that your heart's longing? To love Jesus more so that you just go and go, I've got to share about him. I've got to live for him. That's the gospel principle. Heart shaped by Jesus will result in lives lived for Jesus. What might that look like for us? A gospel vision. A Southport church family growing to know and love God so that we live and speak for Jesus. Here's where I and the PCC have got to. A Southport church family growing to know and love God so that we go to live and speak for Jesus. Or to put more simply, to grow so that we go. A Southport church family growing to know and love God so that we go to live and speak for Jesus. To grow so that we go. The crucial phrase is so that. The deeper the gospel goes in, the more eager we will be to go and live and to serve and to speak for Jesus. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And let's make no mistake, God does call us to intentionally go. God calls us to intentionally go and live and speak for Christ. He calls us to go and live for Christ. That's what we've seen, isn't it, over the past couple of weeks in Luke 6. That we put all our chips on Jesus. We go all in with him so that we live sacrificially and so that we're willing to suffer loss. As we love our enemies and bless those who insult us, that's what Jesus calls us to go and do. To do that in our families, to do that with our friends, to do that in our workplaces and schools, to raise the next generation to go and live wholeheartedly for Jesus. Imagine the difference that will make to the people of Southport. These guys really believe what they say. And there are lots of ways that we're beginning to do that. And it's wonderful to be in a part of a church family where that's beginning to happen and is happening. You know, church should feel like a field hospital. A church family should feel like a field hospital. We come in, battered and bruised, from being soldiers and workers for Christ in the week. We come in battered and bruised, and we come together, and we receive the comfort from God's word. We have our hearts refilled with love for Christ, and then we're sent out again to go and serve Jesus in the world and in our communities for the next week. And then we come back to the field hospital again, and we're patched up, and then we're sent back out to go and live for Jesus. We're told we're called to go and live for Jesus, but we're called to go and speak for Jesus too. The Great Commission, where Jesus ends Matthew's gospel, is to go and make disciples of all nations. And that's, you know, we're called to go and to share Jesus and to make disciples of all nations. And we're called to do that as a church family. A church family growing to know and love God so that we go and live and speak for Jesus. You've heard me say this before, I think. But we're not to be like the Simpsons. So a picture up on the screen. We're not to be like the Simpsons, a church family that kind of, you know, just gathers to kind of sit and kind of take it all in, and then don't really do anything. They just kind of sit on the sofa, don't they, watching the TV? No, we're to be a church family that's like the Thunderbirds. Slightly old illustration now. Maybe the Invincible and the Incredibles are probably a better illustration, but I know who I'm speaking to. You guys know Thunderbirds. We're called to be a church family that's on mission. A church family called together to go and rescue people. Thunderbirds, they're on a rescue. They're a family on a mission to rescue people. And that's what we're about, isn't it? As we come and we have our heart, we go, Jesus is wonderful. We then, as a church family, go, well, we're on a rescue mission to go and share Jesus together. That's the type of family we are. We mustn't think, well, yeah, I need my heart transformed and so I just sit here. No, I have my heart transformed so that I serve, so that I live, so that we go and do that rescue mission that God calls us to and take Jesus to a lost and dying world. We are called to grow to know and love God so that we go and live and speak for Jesus. To grow so that we go. We're going to think a lot more about what that looks like practically this afternoon. We're going to be a chance to ask questions off the back of that. A chance to offer kind of feedback and wisdom. I've not got all the wisdom. PCC's not got all the wisdom. It's good to think about these things together, isn't it? But two practical things you can do. Just off the back of this, you can commit. You can commit to come in regularly, week by week, Sunday by Sunday. You know, if we are that field hospital where we gather together to be patched up so that we can go out and live and serve for Jesus, and please commit to keep on coming regularly. And please commit not for 2 out of 4 Sundays or 2 out of 4 connect groups, but think, actually, no, I need to be with God's people week by week. Because that's how I'm going to grow to know and love God, so that I might go and speak for Jesus, and so that I might go and live and serve Jesus. Please commit to for your own walks with God, to commit to those just daily habits of grace. And please commit to pray. The best thing you could do is to pray this prayer for us as a church family and for yourselves, that we would be a church family that grows to know and love God more and more. We're doing that. Wonderful. Praise God for that. I pray that we go on doing that more and more so that our hearts overflow in lives lived for Jesus, in words spoken for Jesus. And please commit to pray that. Pray that we grow in the gospel so that we go with the gospel. I'm not interested in mission statements. I'm not interested in saying things and seeing no change happen. I'm not interested in slogans on a website. That's not what I signed up for. We want to see change. We want to see us growing to know and love Jesus so that we go and live and speak for Jesus. That's what this afternoon is going to be about. So do stay around for lunch. Do stay around for that session this afternoon. But let me pray for us, and then we'll say the creed together. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we are those who have received the gospel, that wonderful news of hope and life and peace and purpose and the promise of your presence with us, have daily relationship with you. Our Heavenly Father, would you help us to be those who grow to know and to love you more and more? And would we do those things not as an end in themselves, but so that we would go and live and speak for Jesus? Help us to be a people that grow in the gospel, so we allow the gospel to take deep roots in our hearts, so that we might want to live for you more and more, that we might want to live for Christ and speak of Christ more and more. Heavenly Father, we pray that what we think about that today isn't just words. Father, we're interested in seeing folks saved for your glory, in our lives live for your glory. So please do that work in us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and we're going to say the